from Amarillo, this small Texas town is now the backdrop for the
high-stakes hearing in the courtroom behind me. In the
Judge
case
Matthew
where
Kaczmarek waited until the last minute to file the case and told attorneys to keep the date of the hearing a secret to avoid the possibility of
protests happening right now. They said they'll be back tonight.
This is the biggest abortion-related case since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last year.
The scene outside the federal courthouse in the remote Texas panhandle city of Amarillo today, where a federal judge heard a case that could undo the Food and Drug Administration's decades-old approval of mifepristone. It's one of the drugs used in medication abortions, the most common way now to end pregnancies. We're going to talk about what's at stake now with Michelle Goodwin. She's a law professor at UC Irvine and author of the book Policing the Womb, Invisible Women and the Criminalization of Motherhood. Welcome to Press Play.
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
All right. So this lawsuit was filed by a group, a conservative group called the Alliance Defending Freedom, on behalf of four anti-abortion medical organizations and four doctors. Tell us what they're claiming here.
What they're claiming is that the Food and Drug Administration lacked the authority to approve the drug and that the FDA rushed the drug to the market without thorough consideration of the health implications. Now, this is even though the drug had been used for decades in Europe and has been found to be safe and effective, not only by the Food and Drug Administration, but by leading medical and science organizations, not only in the United States, but around the world.
What about this claim, though, that the FDA rushed it to market? Is there any truth to that?
Well, the reality is that the drug was available to come into the market even before the Food and Drug Administration had brought it to the marketplace. It had already been used in Europe for decades before. So if you look at it that way, there was no rush. In fact, for some time, the criticism has been that the Food and Drug Administration has been rather slow in advancing the kinds of medications and prescriptions and drugs that benefit women and that are effective for women and that help women in the arc of their own health and safety. So the other side of this argument is that the FDA has been incredibly slow when it's come to advancing the health concerns of women and bringing to market the kinds of drugs that women seek to have.
And in terms of the safety, can you put this into context? Because, of course, pregnancy and actually carrying a baby to term is also risky for, it can be risky for the mother and for the baby. But in the context, how safe are these drugs?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I'm glad that you are asking that because we've become so far distant from medicine and science and the way in which these cases have been brought. In 2016, the United States Supreme Court acknowledged that in a study done of women and pregnancy and abortion, that a woman is 14 times more likely to die by carrying a pregnancy to term than by having an abortion. By the rhetoric that's brought about in these cases, one would think that it's the opposite. One would think, because of the rhetoric, that the riskier choice for a woman would be having an abortion, where the reality is that the United States is the deadliest country in all of the industrialized world to actually be pregnant. In the Dobbs case, in which the United States Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey, it was a case brought by the state of Mississippi. In Mississippi, if you happen to be a Black woman, you're 118 times more likely to die by carrying a pregnancy to term than by having an abortion. And much of this data, this is data that we get from those states, from their health departments, from the data that they are keeping and from the federal government. So this is not data that is made up by some fringe organizations, but rather this is information that we've known for quite some time. And to your point with regard to the health and safety, according to the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, known as ACOG, serious side effects associated with this drug, it's called mifepristone, occurs in less than 1% of patients. And so it's incredibly safe. Mm-hmm. So what this does is it defies reason in many ways. As one tries to understand litigation like this, it requires us to contort our understanding of medicine and science.
And So the group that I mentioned, the ADF, which is bringing the case today, acknowledged apparently in today's hearing that there is no precedent for a court to order the suspension of a long-approved medication. And the judge in this case, Matthew Kaczmarek, seemed to press the ADF on this. And so why do you think he took this case in the first place? I mean, we do know that he is conservative and that he has held anti-abortion views.
It's a great question, and I think it relates to the broader concerns that Americans have about the judiciary and the judiciary being politicized to such a degree that now even the United States Supreme Court has the lowest approval rating ever, even lower than that of Congress, which is really stunning. But I think it reflects the kind of politicized nature of our court. During President Trump's run for office, he made clear that he would only nominate and seek to get appointed judges that would overturn Roe, judges that would seek to ban or block abortion, judges that would be willing to punish women who have abortions. And part of your question leads to the concern about Judge Kaczmarek, who's been very vocal in his opposition to matters of reproductive freedom. And also the concern is that it looks like it's forum shopping. He's a lone district court judge in a little corner of Texas, big state, but this is a small corner. And the concern is that it looks like forum shopping, that this was the judge that these particular litigants would be able to appeal to take up this case, which could have implications for the rest of the country. And not only that, what's really so dangerous about this particular case and the way in which it's been brought is that it could have implications for many other drugs, from COVID-19 boosters to medicines used in gender-affirming therapies.
Hmm. All right. So what are his options here? Could he just, with a stroke of a pen, ban the sale of this drug? Is that even possible?
Well, it wouldn't be the full ban of the sale of the drug, but it could be that there is a ban in terms of the way in which the FDA allows it to be distributed. Of course, he could do anything that he wants. So let me just back that up and say that what we have seen in our judiciary, things that we would not have imagined before. We just saw the Supreme Court overturn nearly 50 years of precedent in Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey. So we don't know exactly what it is that this judge will do. It could very well be that very soon mifepristol, which is a drug that is used in terminating pregnancies, which is safe and effective, could then not be available or not as easily available. There are a range of options that this judge could seek to use, but it's hard to gamble on what exactly will be the outcome until we see what his opinion is in this case.
All right. Michelle Goodwin is a law professor at UC Irvine and author of the book Policing the Womb, Invisible Women and the Criminalization of Motherhood. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Coming up, violent crime is up in LA's subway system, and people are also overdosing more now. That story is next on Press Play.